today on Real Radio.
Do you want to get victory over any temptation, any one of us tonight? The answer is the power of the Bible. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Whatever your struggle is, no matter what it is subservient to the power of the word of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Many of us have questions regarding ministry and the church. In this question and answer segment, Pastor Jack wants us always to be discerning in what and who we support by applying the Bible to every issue of life. Today, Pastor Jack wants us to realize that all of us are different, including our struggles and temptations in life. Does our doctrine and character honor God? There's a good question. You know, our sin nature doesn't go away with age, so we must bring every thought captive and let the Lord's power rule over our hearts and minds. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
So, in the spirit of worldview, this person's asked a question. It says, my question is, in regards to our spirituality and supporting the body of Christ, there are many ministries who are not right on when it comes to biblical teaching, but they put on some great music that leads us into worship times with God. What does the Bible say about buying their music and supporting those ministries? And so this person's basically asking, there's a whole lot of ministries, whether they're teachers or musicians or organizations that are Christian, and not all of these people are we completely aligned with. Is it wrong for us to support or endorse or be a part of that? Or is there, at some point, do we need to draw the line with how we associate with people that share a worldview with us, or I should say, have a biblical worldview that parts way with us a little bit?
I heard you say the word supporting a ministry that is questionable about being biblical or is not biblical.
Is in your opinion, or in our biblical opinion, not
if the person, and if you're here tonight, or maybe you like he said, text that or email that in. If you're going to a ministry, or if you're involved in a ministry, or if you're supporting a ministry somewhere, somehow, that's not biblical. I mean, that's a strong word if it's not biblical. Man, at the very first thing, I'd back up. I'd at least pause in support of that ministry if the Lord gave you clear direction. What would be the criteria? Absolutely the Word of God, the Bible. If something's going on that's not biblical, let's say they're not teaching the gospel, or look at people who for years supported, for example, Jimmy Swaggart or Jim and Tammy Baker. And you could say, well, it wasn't biblical or it was kind of biblical. But when you found out about their personal conduct, it was immediately. They could have had the greatest preaching ministry in the universe, but their character didn't match up, right? That's a problem. You stop. But if you have the integrity, though, that's there, and you have a ministry that is questionable biblically, I would make sure that you apply chapter and verse to the issue. Ask the Lord, Lord, should I be supporting a ministry that does not honor your word in this area mm-hmm. or that area? Be very careful, because remember, your support is not, it's not yours in the sense that it's not yours to give away as you wish. It's God's blessing on your life to invest in the kingdom for your benefit in eternity. So it's all His.
Yeah, and just to add to that, we have to be discerning, and there's a fine line between a ministry or an organization not aligning itself with our preferences and our ideas of the way we do church or the way a Christian should be. And when they don't, when they're not consistent with our personal method of being a Christian, we just write them off. Like, oh, they're hellbound Christians, they're hypocrites, they're all these things. So I think we have a responsibility to be thorough with what we label as a wolf.
Yeah, there's practice, which there can be principles or policies or procedures. You know, like for every church is different, right? And it's supposed to be different. There's a personality to every local body. That's cool. But where you want to be careful is it biblical? Does that make sense? I mean, look right here. We have a couple of churches in our area. It's yet we have two Calvaries within 4 miles from here. Both, all three are flourishing and reaching the world. Isn't that amazing? And yet each of them have a distinct personality. It's awesome. Why? Because it's ministry built and founded on Scripture. And you want to always use the Scripture as your judge.
Yeah. Okay, his next question, it's interesting because I grew up with an interesting view on this. The person has said, I noticed that a lot of people, including Christians, like the symbol of a skull on them, whether that be clothes or tattoos or stickers. How does this fit together with a biblical worldview? Are they celebrating death? And shouldn't Christians be celebrating life? And when I grew up, I was I remember being told if I had some kind of symbol on me, like a necklace or a shirt, that that spirit was attaching itself to me. And I remember being told, oh, no, if you're saved, there's no way you can wear that. So when it comes to symbols and stuff that we might call pagan or ungodly, are there any boundaries that we should set as a Christian?
As a Christian, that's key, as he said, as a Christian. If you look at the book of Leviticus, if you're Jewish, you're forbidden to have markings. Did you know that? That's if you're Jewish. And you say, Mom, did you hear what he just said? I'm not a Jew, so I can get a tattoo. I'm not a Jew, so I can get a tattoo. No, listen. What's interesting is I've seen a Calvary Chapel logo recently, and it has actually the skull. And it's Skull Chapel. You say, that's satanic. Okay, well, Calvary means skull. You're sitting right now in Skull Chapel. Oh, so welcome, matey. Right? But markings, things like that, tattoo. Listen, this is a fine line. This is a thing of conscience. Because you need to really pray about something like that. Because you know what? I see people with tattoos. I see people with Jesus Loves Me tattoos. And I mean, personally, it doesn't bother me at all. Personally. And that doesn't mean they're possessed or, oh gosh, that guy was saved, but he got a tattoo. That's not going to happen. But what you do want to do is just be wise. I mean, there are people, look, all of us are so different. We're in a Calvary Chapel. We've all come from different backgrounds. We need to make sure that we exercise grace, love, and mercy toward each other. But look, here's the thing. If, for example, you're a young person, if your parents are saying you can't have a tattoo and live under this roof, then listen, if you don't like that rule, then you can't eat food, use the hot water. I mean, come on. Move out and get your own tattoo. If mom and dad are saying no tattoo, then no tattoo. So, well, that's legalism. It's their house. If you don't like it, move out. But here's the thing. Think about the tattoo. What are you getting it for? And you'll have your argument, and that's fine. And you might say, it's Hebrew, and it's Yahweh. Okay, that's cool. You see, Pastor Jack, do you have any tattoos? Okay, well. No. No, because, listen. Because. And I'm really glad I don't, because you know what? I would have gotten them when I was young. And if I would have had a ship tattooed on my chest, it would have sunk by now. Remember, have you ever seen an old person with tattoos? You can't read a thing. Remember that. Young people, remember that. It's going to go away. It's not going to. So, conviction. Pray about that. What's the point? Well, I'm going to witness with it. Okay, just know. Someday it's going to fade and no one's going to be able to read what it says. Be wise. You have responsibilities regarding these decisions. Okay? If you are a practicing Jew, God says to the Jewish people, no tattoos for you. He does not, though, say Christians can have all the tattoos they want. Okay? I just can't, I can't judge that. I just would say be wise. And I'm going to get letters from all the parents now. That I didn't come down hard enough on that.
And as far as like icons or logos and things that represent symbols. Maybe symbols and stuff. Is it dangerous for the Christian to be wearing it or have a necklace or something like that?
Oh, were we not talking about tattoos? Were we talking about necklaces and jewelry?
We did. We mentioned that word.
Oh.
Or like...
Didn't he say necklace or something, or even t-shirts, right? Yeah. That's right.
Like, you know, the peace sign.
Can we rewind this and start all over? The peace sign, those are ancient, the peace sign's ancient Egyptian symbols of ancient gods. So you just got to be wise, you know? The swastika, by the way, predates Adolf Hitler, you know? That's Babylonian and Egyptian. Those kinds of things. You want to be careful about that kind of stuff. What you wear, things like that. So, anyway.
Okay, this one is, it's quite a serious question. This person has said, I'm a lesbian, and I've been praying to not have feelings for girls. But it doesn't go away. I've got rid of all my lesbian friends and everything, so I'm not so that I would not be tempted. What shall I do? So this is a Christian girl who is battling with the temptation of lesbianism, and she's made some changes and set some boundaries in her life to minimize that temptation. But what else can she do, and what's her strategic battle here?
Wow, that's actually an awesome question. And first of all, keep this in mind. Did you guys all hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, keep this in mind. And I just 2 days ago, I just came out of a meeting that discussed things like this, so this is very cool. Homosexuality in any manifestation, for that matter, let's just pick on sexual sin and temptation, okay? Whatever it is, don't think for a moment that lesbianism, homosexuality, heterosexual temptation is any different from one another. Don't think that if a man lusts after a woman, that that's somehow less of a sin than a man lusting after a man or a woman lusting after a woman. It's all equally condemned before God. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
So let's get that thinking on right away, because a lot of people today are telling us, well, a heterosexual lust is different. My homosexual lust is not so bad. No, it's all condemned before God. Having said that, I think Morgan said that she's a Christian, but she still is fighting temptation. Number one, examine your past. Why do I bring this up? Because an overwhelming amount of people who struggle, just in their minds, they've never crossed the line. In their minds, they struggle with homosexual temptation, and they don't know why. Many of them, when they're researched and talked it over, it's found out that they experienced some form of child abuse, sexual child abuse, as a young person. Their data is overwhelming on this, and so they're confused. I'm not talking about gender confusion. I'm talking about their sexuality is confused because they admit, man, yeah, you know what? When I was 6 years old, you know, the girl next door, the boy next door did this to me. Or it was somebody I knew. This is 75% or greater. That's a huge number. The data is actually in the 80s, 80%. But listen, I want to encourage you. If you're here or if you're watching right now or you're listening right now, I think you're doing the right thing. You said that you've severed your relationships with your lesbian friends. Listen, that's true. That should be true for all of us who sever our relationship with our past life. You may have the temptation for the rest of your life. Well, how do you know? Well, I don't have homosexual temptations, but there's not a man or a woman around that doesn't have some form of sexual temptation. And let me tell you, it doesn't go away with age. It doesn't end with age. It's the sin nature. You're doing the right thing by changing your friends. The scripture says that evil company corrupts good morals. So you're doing the right thing. Don't think that your temptation's going to go away, but I'm going to tell you this right now. And this is true for all of us. Maybe your thing is not sexual. Maybe it's drinking or whatever it is. Listen, bring every thought, Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10 says, under the captivity of Jesus Christ, number one. Number two, let me tell you something. How personal can I be with you tonight? Of course, very personal, because it's at my expense, not yours. Before I got saved, I was completely given over to making sure that I was gratified. Girls, the pornographic world, that's why for myself, I radically cut that off when I came to Christ. I should say I radically, what a bonehead. The Lord dramatically removed that from my life, okay? Why? Because I'm convinced it would have killed me. I know that now, and I know that the day after I got saved, okay? Here's the thing. No matter what the temptation is, God will give you the power by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Do you want to get victory over any temptation, any one of us tonight? The answer is the power of the Bible. Amen. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Whatever your struggle is, no matter what it is subservient to the power of the Word of God. And that can conquer anything. I mean, you can be... You guys, you could be lusting over the latest Nordstrom's magazine. I gotta have those curtains. You need to bring that thought under the captivity of Christ. I want to encourage you, young lady. Keep fighting. We're all fighting. Keep fighting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And the one thing you said, which I think is so important, is taking every thought captive, our thought life. You know, just don't rehearsing in your mind like that. And that's why David said that Psalms 119, instead of dwelling and thinking on this and battling it in your mind and just trying to get it out of your mind, fill your mind with the Word of God and with Scripture. And that is the only thing that's going to break those kind of shackles. Right. And let's face it, when it comes to sexual sins and homosexuality, that bondage is heavy, is strong. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to be the Word of God that's going to do it rather than just your self-will.
Yep.
You know? Okay.
Real quick, verses. Go ahead and search this later. Galatians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Read those later regarding that.
Okay, this is good, and we've discussed this here at church a little bit because it's got to do with church. My wife and I have been studying the New Testament church. According to what we have been looking at, it looks nothing like the modern church. The buildings, pastors, and the list goes on. What should a church look like? And this is quite popular at the moment, this whole question, and we'll call it a movement or whatever we want to call that. And it's really trying to highlight the fact that the way we do church, you know, the building and the leadership and tithes and offering and music for, you know, instruments during worship, that this was not God's intention of what the New Testament church should look like. And to conclude from that, that we are in error, and some people would even say we're in sin, functioning as a church like this.
I had that last Sunday. Last Sunday in the foyer, a gentleman came up and said, I've been here 2 weeks, and I love the Word of God, and I'll be back, he said. He said, but can you explain to me, can you even begin to justify the music of this church? And I said, I'm not quite sure. What do you mean? He said, there are drums on the stage, guitars, and microphones, and the Word of God condemns that. And I said, and I grabbed his Bible, and I said, can you show me where the Word of God condemns this? And he said, and he sat there, and if you're here tonight, you know I'm being very accurate what I'm saying. He said, well, I know it's in here somewhere. I just can't tell you right now. And I said, the reason why you can't tell me right now is A, you're so committed to this that you had to bring it up to me now in the foyer, which means you're passionate about it. Yes, I am. You're so passionate about it, but you don't know where to find it in the Bible. And I said, in 30 seconds, I'm going to justify the music you just heard. And I turned to Psalm 150. And it says, not only are we to use cymbals and brass, it says trumpets and horns, lyre and lute, and high shouts and high sounding cymbals, that whatever we can do, we need to make this before the Lord joyously and big. Where's that? Psalm 150. This is the same answer. But this is kind of cool. This comment or critique is ancient. It's ancient. It's not a new movement. I wouldn't even call it a movement, because this is fun. This is great about being an older believer. I remember watching the shepherding movement come in the late 70s and early 1980s, if some of you remember that. And it said, get out of church, meet with us, we'll tell you how to do it, and by the way, we have no leadership. Which sounds really noble, except it's completely unbiblical, because God, in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, speaks about godly leadership. Okay, government has been established by God, both secular and spiritual. Okay, but watch. That very group that said, meet with us, we'll just be free and simple, there'll be no leader. It's interesting that those who were inviting the people to those meetings, they all became the leaders. And it turned into what was called the shepherding movement. You can Google it later. It destroyed people's lives, because there were those who were not the leaders who began to say, you're not really a Christian unless you come to our group. In fact, if you don't come, you're sinning. And we'll tell you who to marry. We think it's God's will that you not go to that college or that school. And the other interesting thing is, those groups came out of people who were very disgruntled with church. Which is interesting, because if people are looking for the perfect church and then think that they, you know, create it and then turn around and point just like that just did about, or what Morgan just had commented about, that's wrong, this is wrong, even sinful. Do you hear that, you guys? It's from the ancient spirit of the Pharisees. How do you know? It's not noted by love, it's noted by judgment. And listen, I'll give you a tip, spare you some grief. Those things, that they just cycle, they never last, they always ruin, they always implode. And sadly, it's Satan's plan to derail people from the gathering of the saints together.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in our second question and answer segment of the Worldview series. Pastor Jack would like to thank you for listening to today's message and wants to encourage you to always use Scripture to judge all things. Today's lesson was just one in our Worldview series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you haven't visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org lately, you really should when you get a chance. Reallifewithjackhibbs.org, it really is quite a resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything that is connected to Real Radio. You can access previously aired Real Radio programs. You can get real life videos, real life devotions, which you hear us mention from time to time. You'll get our special offers and Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And you know, if Real Radio is a part of your day and you're learning and growing as a result, why wouldn't you let Pastor Jack know? Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click Contact Us, and the rest really is quite easy. Or if you'd like to send Pastor Jack a letter, that's real easy. Send it to Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found, including our phone number, right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.